the same feeling and the same thing to happen to them as what has happened to you. And when you don't do that, it's a little bit troubling to know whether you did all you can to share with others the word of God. And I say that to say that it's a pleasure to be before you. It's, you don't know when you'll have that chance. You don't know when you can say something that'll touch someone's life, whether they think about the Lord as someone that they want to be head of their life and someone that can lead them to, that has, as far as Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins and did it that we might be able to have heaven as our home and live eternally with God. We don't know when those opportunities will arise, but we do want to be a part of that. But as far as my lesson tonight, it's coming from the title is Later Than We Think. It's Later Than We Think. And my lesson text is Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." It's later than we think as far as how much time we have to do God's will in this life. We need to get into the work of God. We need to remember that we can't live without Him. What happens when we think about living without God? Nothing, because we can't do it. When life is right, when your life is right with God, all things in life will fall into place. When you have God's spirit of courage, when it's within you, that is what's needed in the Christian life. That's what's needed in the Christian life. We need courage. You need courage to live the Christian life. You need courage. David's mindset was in the Spirit of God when he faced the giant Goliath. That's a true story. We face giants every day. It's not in the form of a man, maybe, but it's a giant. It's a giant in our relationships. It's a giant in our family. It's a giant with our health. It's some type of giant. It's a giant as far as our jobs might be concerned. It's a giant. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's start at verse 23. And this is David when he has come out after his father instructed him on what he wanted him to do as far as going to see about his brothers, and they were out fighting the Philistines. And David, he didn't know about this Goliath that was coming out. But you see, David turned out to be a problem solver for some of the Israelites that was there. Verse 23 says, then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming out from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. I want to stop for a minute. Now, this is the armies of Israel, and they're running and hiding from one man. You see, Goliath was an evil, and his strategy was to divide and conquer. And what he did was divide the Israelite army that they would be scared by themselves. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, when David came in this story like this, it was a word that I was thinking about that matched this, and it was awesome. It's out on the sign now, holy and awesome. And that's what David needed to be to face the giant Goliath. David cared more about silencing this loudmouth giant than any of us can even imagine. You see, the story of David and Goliath sets an example of God's spirit. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him will have eternal life. If you're facing hard times, God is there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Fighting the good fight. When you're fighting the good fight, God is there. You know, it took courage for David to face Goliath. It takes courage for us to live the Christian life the right way. We see in sports, they always talk about playing the game the right way. For them, it's the right way. And for Christians, it's the right way. It's the right way as far as living the Christian life, is doing it with Jesus leading our lives. That's the right way. But you see, you know, David was able to face Goliath because David had been preparing for the battle. David had been preparing for the battle. You know, I used to box for a little while, and when I would train, I would always think, what is my opponent doing? What is my opponent doing? And you know what it would do? It would make me get down and do more push-ups, more sit-ups, because my opponent was probably doing the same thing. No, you can't just get into the ring and not be ready. It's a very dangerous place, and you can get killed. So you want to be as prepared as you can. David was prepared for the battle with Goliath because David had already killed the lion. David had already killed the bear. David was protecting sheep. But as you can see, you don't take something like that lightly. Protecting sheep calls for someone who is able to kill giants. You know, sheep are very tender animals and very scared. That's why they can't even be around water that's rustling or bustling. They have to be around quiet, still water. And this is the type of animal that David was protecting. And David knew this. He had to know all about what the sheep feared and who would be an adversary for the sheep. So David had killed the lion, he killed the bear, and this giant would be no different. This giant would be no different. But you have to go in the way that's best for you. He tried on King Saul's armor, but it just held him back. It hampered him. He couldn't even move. He couldn't walk. But he had weapons. He had weapons that he used to protect sheep. And they were enough to kill a giant, almost a 10-foot giant that had 200 pounds of armor to protect him, that had a shield bearer that carried his shield because it was something that he couldn't carry. You have to have these things. You have to be prepared. David's faith was in the Lord. He was well prepared. And then when you look at the story of King Belshazzar, you know, you have to be ready. You have to, you know, realize that it's later than we think. And you look at the story of the king, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. And he saw the handwriting on the wall. And that was telling you, when you see the handwriting that's already on the wall, you know that it's later than you think. It's later than you think. He witnessed a person's handwriting on the wall. The writing on the wall was not good news even. It was not good news for him. Let's look at Daniel. Let's look at the story. Turn over to Daniel 5. Daniel 5, verses 5-9. It said, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hands appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loose, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried out aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. His knees was knocking. And the shrill, and the scream that he made, the cry that he made was a shrill, because he knew that he was seeing something that no one can explain. It's later than you think. As far as how we live, it's later than we think. As far as how we treat one another, and as far as where we go, and what we do, and what we say, and what we think, who we hang around with. And the list goes on. The list goes on. But now, see, this is the good news of the gospel. But now is the appropriate time. It's never a better time than right now. Right now. Because we have one chance in life to get it right. It's second chances that's given out, but how many second chances have we had? We're not sure. We're not sure of how many second chances we've already had. We have to live this life as though it's one chance. The Lord will take care of us. But we have to realize that we may be on our second chance right now. You know, I wish I had more to say. But when you've said all you can about what you have to talk about, you need to sit down. You need to sit down. So I say this, you've heard the word. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent of your sins and confess the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be baptized for the remission of sins? If you're ready to do that, you can come forward. And like I was saying before I got into my lesson, your life can change. When we talk to others about the change that has happened in our life, you're causing a change in someone else's life. There's no more powerful thing that can happen to you than to change the course of someone's life and put them on the road to eternal life. And pray. and pray that you can be on it and be on it the right way. We talked about that, the right way. What's the right way for a Christian? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. So, you need to come forward. You can do that as we stand and sing our song of invitation.